To 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, and we're just going to kind of complete where we were last week and where we began again last week from verse 35 down to verse number 50. And we were we titled this passage just this: "We shall be changed, but how?" We shall be changed, but how? And we understand that we do still live in a day and time where men desire to question, and men want to have answers. And I just want to just continue to reiterate, there is nothing wrong with asking questions. There is absolutely nothing wrong. And Paul isn't even condemning right here the asking of questions, but rather the type of questions that are being asked, because there are some things that are just simply settled in Scripture. There are just some things that the Word of God has absolutely settled, and if we'd be by faith receive the Word of God, then we would have the answer that God desires for us to have. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. There are some things that are hard to be understood. In fact, in verse number 51, Paul just says, it's a mystery, and we're going to get there, Lord willing, next Sunday night. But the reality is the answer's in the Word of God. And there are some things people come and I'll just say, man, yeah, that's a good question, you know, because I don't necessarily think I can stand here. I say some things I can give you my opinion on. I can't give you, this is what I think. But the reality, though, when the Word of God is just rather clear on the subject of the resurrection, right? That without it, we don't really even have salvation. Without it, we have no hope of eternal salvation. We have no hope of glory without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can go back to the gospel accounts, and the resurrection isn't like, man, it's just shielded in obscurity, right? It's not at all in the Word of God shielded in obscurity, but asserted as fact. And Paul here is at the same time just as saying, listen, the resurrection did take place. And so he's not condemning questions, and he's condemning the questions that are being asked, foolish questions that honestly, there's not really anyone looking for a genuine answer to. But I encourage you as well, we ought to be Berean though with the Word of God. And Berean doesn't mean that we just ask random questions and try to find holes in our doctrinal. No, being Berean means that we search the Scriptures to see whether these things be so. We ought to search the Scriptures to see whether, where we stand as believers, where we stand as a church, where our doctrinal statement, we ought to be able to search the Scriptures and find what we believe is founded in the Word of God. But if what we believe is founded in the Word of God, it's been received by us and accepted by us in faith. And that's so important that we would understand that tonight. Do I have all the answers? No, but that's why I have Google. Amen. And I'm just kidding. No, I don't have all the answers, and neither do you. And I've said this so many times from this pulpit. I've just said this statement: when somebody has all the answers, be careful, because they probably have a book that they're trying to sell to you as well. And they want to make sure you know how smart they are. That doesn't mean don't write books. It's good to write books if you are grounding what you're saying, again, in the Word of God, in the Word of God. And so we look here in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, and look at verse number 35, and we'll start there again. He says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? These are the questions that some are asking among those who are in the church, among those who are at the church at Corinth. Paul lumps those men in this category, verse number 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but shall bear grain. But bear grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Again, that not talking about aliens. It's talking about heavenly. When it talks about celestial and terrestrial is earthly. All right? But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the heavenly, such are they that such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. And so we're going to just continue to talk about this, these questions that were being asked and the process by which they were coming, and how are these things going to be? And the two questions that we begin with, and we're looking at last week, how are the dead raised? And we use some colorful pictures for you, right? And tried to help you understand that he talks about this very thing, that a seed goes into the ground, right? A seed, this is a kernel of wheat. This is a kernel of wheat. This is many kernels of wheat. One of my favorite things when I was a kid was swimming in wheat. And you, if you've never done that, you say, how in the world do you swim in wheat? It's a lot of fun. But you get into the silo and just start swimming through wheat. It's like the Donald Duck, you know, where he swims through his money. Scrooge. Yeah, Scrooge McDuck. It's kind of like that. It's a lot of fun. But this is wheat. It's seed. So what it is, it's a seed, and the seed goes into the ground, and when it goes into the ground, the seed dies, and when the seed dies, then it begins to germinate, and it begins to sprout, and that seed begins to shoot a sprout up out of the ground, and it grows into wheat, and that one seed, right, one seed put with a lot of seeds can turn into a whole harvest of wheat, and it doesn't just produce itself. I mean, it's not like you put it in the ground and then it pops up the same exact thing, like a little bitty seed on the top of the ground. No, it comes out completely different. Wheat's that way, corn's that way. We got flowers. I was excited. We got home yesterday afternoon and I noticed some of our flowers had grown, and I was showing Carrie. Carrie really enjoys flowers, and so I was taking a video for her and send it to her and so she could see it. And then later on, I went out to walk of the flowers, and the flower that was opened in the sun now it closed up. It was evening time, or toward the evening time, and it was in the shade, and it was taking place. But I'm telling you, when we put that seed in the ground, it was so minuscule and so small. If we didn't look at the package to find out what it was, we'd never know. And I could look at wheat, and I could tell you that's a wheat seed. But I'm telling you, we'd never know what that is. It was just this little black speck, almost looked like lice, honestly, and scared you a little bit. But it wasn't lice. It was a flower seed, and we placed it in the ground, and now months later they've grown and they're producing the fruit, or the flower is blossoming and beautiful. Listen, but it started from a little minuscule seed that's almost too small to even see. It's almost too small to see. But what took place was that there was a change. There was a change that took place. There was something that was different. And so how shall the dead rise? He gives us this analogy in that first question of the seed going in the ground. And then what body? That was the first question. How shall it happen? It's going to happen just like seed going in the ground and springing back up. And it's going to be different. And you say, well, then here's the other question. Then with what body do they come? They come with a... with a different body given to them by God. Come on. They start as this, and they turn, and they're produced by God into this. And this is a God thing right here taking place. And the change that takes place within you and I is the same thing. There is within us death. Now, come on. This seed, if it just set on the set in a silo, this seed, if it was just properly kept, it would be dead. There is. You can look at it and you say, well, it in of itself, it can produce something that would be of life, but it of itself, in this structure, listen, it's dead. It's dead. But God is able to change it by the process of giving it life. And he's able to change you and I. So in what body shall they come? Well, the Lord's going to determine that body. The Lord's going to determine that body. You say, well, I think there needs to be better answers than that. Well, then here's your answer. Here's your better answer. Goes from this that is dead to this that is living. And at this point, this has actually got to the point of dying as well. It's gotten to the point of dying as well. It lived, it grew, it changed, and there's a process that took place. And so this process that takes place, and this is where we didn't get to last time, we're already into tonight's message, praise the Lord, is a quickening process. That's the process that takes place. There's a change that takes place in the life, but there's a quickening process that takes place. He says in verse number 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." It's not made alive. That's what that word quickened means. It means to make alive when it dies. And then it uses that word quicken again over in verse number 40. In verse number 5, it says, "And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit." Now, you say, well, wait a second. What do you mean he was made a living soul? It means that God breathed life into him. He had life. When you were born into this earth, you were born a living soul. You had life within you. Say, where was the source of that life? The source of that life came from God. Where there was not life, there was a seed planted, right? And God brought forth life into you. And you were born a living soul. When you were born into this earth, it didn't mean you were born in the sense of being born again. No, that comes with the second Adam. That comes with Jesus Christ. Because while the first Adam was a living soul, the second Adam was a quickening spirit. Right? The first Adam, he had life within him and he was made in the image of God. But the reality is, spiritually, he experienced death, the Bible tells us, if we go over to Romans in chapter number 5 and 6. He experienced a death and his soul would experience death. You and I, if we were just born of this flesh, you and I, if we were just born into this life, a living soul, without experiencing a spiritual quickening, without experiencing a meeting or a change brought on by a quickening spirit, which is Jesus Christ. Friend, listen to me. We are going to die. That's what awaits each and every one of us. As we are born a living soul, the next step is death. You were born and then you die. And you say, that's not a very fun way to look at life. Understand with me, that's not how God likes to look at life either. Because God understands this process, because He created the process and He created you, and He understands the living soul that you are, and He also understands the quickening spirit that you need to receive. There needs to be a change that is to take place in your life and in my life, and it is that change that takes place is the indwelling of the quickening spirit of God to come and indwell the spirit of the believer, the life of the believer. So now that we don't just have a living soul, we now have a living spirit, amen, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, that has indwelt us and lives in us, and praise the Lord, gives us eternal life. Gives us eternal life. And he sets up these contrasts between the two. He says, listen, this is what's taking place. You were sown in, look at verse number 42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, right? It is raised in incorruption. It's raised in corruption. It is sown in, verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in wickedness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and that's what he's trying to help us understand. There is the life of Adam. Adam very much had life, and because he had life, there was a reproduction that took place, and he had children, and his children had children, and their children had children, and so on forth until you were born with life. And friend, listen to me, that which was needed in them was spiritual quickening. Spiritual quickening. The cause, the idea of quickening is to cause to live. It is produce alive. It is to get, to be bearing it, to be growing. The idea of the quickening spirit, where it says quickening spirit, I just caught my attention this last week as I was just continuing to read over this passage of scripture, and the suffix ing added on to quicken. We need to be quickened. We need to have the quickening spirit of Jesus Christ in our life. Tells us that is a constant process of life. It's a constant process of life. The natural man, the first Adam, he had a life that was put in his soul, and he was a living being, and there was going to be a day when he was going to die. Just like every person you've ever known, they were alive at one point, and now if they've deceased, they are no longer a living being, right? If we took their body, we placed it in the ground, they're no longer a living being, and there's no more, natural life, human life within them, but we need to understand this reality, that there is a natural body, and then, praise the Lord, there is a spiritual body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body that's going to take place. And while that first Adam all die in Romans in chapter number 5, by the second Adam, we're given life. Praise the Lord, we're given life by Jesus Christ, that second Adam, according to Romans in chapter number 5. And the life that we have, listen, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. There's no expiration date on it. No, come on. The life that you received is of God, and because of His resurrection, is a quickening life. It is a quickening spirit that God has placed within you and within me. And there is no expiration. It's not like we can just check the bottom of your foot or look behind your ear and find an expiration. This is when He was born, and this is when He died. No, no, no. It's a quickening spirit. It's a continual quickening. I got life on the day I was born again and made a spiritual body. And guess what? I will continue to have life for the rest of eternity. Praise the Lord, because God is a quickening spirit, and He's placed within us a quickening spirit, and there is no end of that quickening. It's not like it was quickening on the day of my salvation, and then it just ceases at some point in time to be quickening. No, no, if it's quickening, right, it's a continual thing that's taking place. It is a present and a future tense. The idea of quickening is a present and a future tense. So He quickens me today, and listen to me, He doesn't end quickening me. on into eternity, praise the Lord, when we all get to heaven and we're all, in that 10,000 years and we've just begun, understand with me, even 10,000 years into eternity, guess what God's Spirit is going to continue to do in the life of those who have believed because of His resurrection? He is going to continue to give life. He's going to continue to give life. It doesn't end. It doesn't change. It's not a process by which we have this dating process that goes with it. As far as we believe this, no. Paul's just emphatic about this. It's quickening. It's quickened. It is a continual process that goes with it. There's no date or time. Nobody's going to say, "Listen, they were born on October 7th, 1981, and they died, what's tomorrow? June 27th, 2022. I hope not. But it's possible, isn't it? It's possible, isn't it? But but while we might be able to put that date on a tombstone, and that might be something we can quantify, understand with me, your spiritual life is a quickening spirit that has been placed within you that is present at this very moment in time if you know Christ. And it is eternal. There's never going to be a date. There's never going to be another time when anybody that has a quickening spirit of God is ever going to have an end date of said quickening. Come on, because we've now been changed. Come on, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He died, literally died and was buried in the ground and then rose again the third day with a quickening spirit. Amen. Listen, we have hope that we shall too both have life and eternal life. We have hope of that. We have a surety of that. Praise the Lord. It's something that's going to be from one to another. It's going to be a change that takes place from this into something else, into another body. And it's going to be something that is eternal and consistent. And we don't have to worry about it fading away. Praise the Lord. Now, howbeit, verse number 46, look at this. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man was of the Lord, heavenly. As is the heavenly, such are also they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such as also are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to be changed into His image, which is the process we are currently in, if you're saved. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Bradley, go ahead and come up here. He's the only one here tonight of my posterity, but he's also the most closest one looking to me, so it actually works out just fine. Come on. This little guy, I'm just telling you, inherited a lot from Dad. He honestly did. He looks like Dad looks. I mean, you can put pictures of he and I as we were growing up together, side by side. And I'm telling you, he bears the image of me. He's a real lucky guy. Come on. He looks like me. He's kind of built like me. And he sadly acts like me a lot of the time. Except for he claims he's shy a lot of times. But honestly, it's not only that. I'm telling you, you could put his image beside the image of my father. It's kind of weird. In fact, you can put his. There's a picture of my dad standing behind a little rocking horse when he was like, just was able to stand, had a cowboy hat on. And Bradley, when he was a little boy, when he was, just like 4 or 5 years old, he would look at the picture and go, "Me." I mean, he looked at the image. He said, "That's me." And it wasn't him. It's my dad. It's my dad. There's also a great picture in my parents' house where he has crowns sticking out of his nose. Crayons, I'm sorry. Sticking out of his nose. It's a cute picture too. Oh, you were six? Okay. It's okay to stick crowns out of your nose at six. But understand with me, this is a point. He's inherited his good looks from me, right? Amen. You're supposed to say amen there, not laugh. He's like his father, right? There's been a there's been a, we can say this, he's inherited traits from me. You can look at him, and you look at me. I remember I was in, you couldn't deny, man, he's mine. I couldn't stand here probably tonight and say, no way, that kid's mine. No, I'm telling you, he's absolutely mine. Absolutely mine. Carters just tend to have this very similar facial, I don't know, recognition, I guess. I remember I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had an uncle that lived in Farmington, one of my dad's uncles. I barely even knew the guy growing up, met him a few times. But I had an Uncle Jesse that lived in Farmington, New Mexico. And I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico when I was in college. And we were gassing up our van. We were just driving through. It was the middle of the afternoon in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We were filling up the van for the tour group that my wife and I were on in college. And as I was standing there filling up the van, just standing beside the pump, there's this guy that kept looking away from the other side of the gas station, just looking over at me. And he'd go back in. And then a couple seconds later, he'd come back and look at me. And then he'd go back behind the gas pump. And so about the third time, I just waved at him. And he said, I'm sorry, can I ask you a weird question? I said, I guess. I don't know. And he says, is your last name Carter? I've never met the guy. I mean, complete stranger to me. And I said, yeah, it is. He said, I have a neighbor across the street, and he looks just like you. Well, why is that? Because we've inherited some things from each other. Of the human nature and of the flesh, we've inherited some things, some earthly things. There's this similitude between he and I and my dad, my uncle, apparently my brothers. They're all good looking. I don't know what it is. I don't know why we're so blessed of God. Amen. No, still no amens. My wife didn't even amen that. I gave her another chance. But listen, look at verse 50. It says, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, why he inherited some looks from me and some personality from me and a lot of character traits from me. Those are just things that innately he was given to him from me. You know what he cannot inherit? He cannot inherit that which is spiritual from me. No, come on. That which is within me, that is a quickening spirit that gives eternal life. Why I could pass on to him something that was earthly, and why I could pass on something to him, that is fleshly. I did not pass on anything to him that is heavenly. I did not. I didn't. I can't. And this, it'll go on. We'll go on in this next week even more. But he says, listen, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Just because, well, I mean, his dad's saved, and his dad's saved, and his dad's dad professed to know Christ as well. Listen, it has no bearing upon him spiritually. No, I mean, I understand this. I can influence him spiritually, and I can influence him towards godliness, and I can keep him in church, and I can have him read the Word of God. I can pray to God, for the Lord, for him to have a spiritual influence in his life. But it's not something I can inherit. He can inherit from me. It's something that he's got to inherit from another father, his heavenly father. It's not something that he just gets from me. It's something that he's going to have to go to God to get. He says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And man, we stop and say, wait a second. I thought we had an inheritance. You do. A spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus. There are some things that are to come. There are some things that are going to take place. There are some things that are awaiting the child of God that I am going to receive one day that I haven't got. That's the idea of an inheritance, right? It is that someone has something, and this is the reality. One day it's going to be mine. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. I remember one time we had one of the kids walked up and they said we were looking at some guns in the gun safe and everything, and one of the kids said, Dad, when you're dead, can I have that gun? I know that's not experience. I know a lot of people. Hey, when you're dead, can I have it? What are they asking? They're asking for an inheritance. That's what they're asking for. And there is an inheritance that is to come. But listen, there is an inheritance that we can expect. There is an anticipation that we have. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the quickening of the Spirit. But understand with me, that inheritance is not like this monetary gift that one day you're going to pass on down to your kids. No, no, no. It's a spiritual inheritance that they've received of Christ because of His resurrection. No, no, no. It's a spiritual inheritance that they've received of Christ because Christ rose from the dead. And we have this inheritance that is awaiting us. I have hope in heaven tonight. I have hope in Christ tonight. Why? Because He rose from the grave. He made the payment for my sin. And He has given me an opportunity to have an inheritance incorruptible, we'll look at next week, in Him and only in Him. I'm not going to get it from any other source. I'm only going to get it from Him. So when we ask this question, well, with what body do they come? How in the world? I mean, hear this. I mean, this question. I mean, how? What kind of body are they going to come in? They're going to come in a changed body. Come on. They're going to come in a body that is going to be the image of the one who has redeemed them. No. They're going to come in the body of an image of one who has given them an inheritance incorruptible and prepared for them in heaven. Oh, absolutely they will. They will. This inheritance of God only comes by means, though, of the resurrection. Come on. If Christ be not raised, Paul said, then we are of all men most miserable. He said that in this very chapter. We're of all men most miserable. But friend, listen to me. Because He did rise, I'm telling you, I have an inheritance. I have an inheritance. Because He rose from the grave. That's how an inheritance works, right? I get and I receive of something that somebody else prepared. Right? You go out and you work your life and you invest your money and you be a good steward and you get your nest egg built up, and then before you get a chance to spend it all, right? It's all left to someone else as an inheritance. What'd you do for it? I was around when they died. No. And your spiritual inheritance, because you've been not just a recipient of their death, you have a spiritual inheritance because of the resurrection. Now, here's the reality. These were the questions that they had. And Paul even, I don't want to get into it tonight. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. This is the best explanation I can give you to your questions. But at the same time, I'm telling you, it's a mystery. Well, why would it be a mystery? We're going to talk about that a little more next week. But the reason it's a mystery is because Paul's just knowing he has an inheritance coming. He really doesn't know what it looks like, though. Are you with me? I mean, Paul's just sitting here saying, "Listen, I have an inheritance. I'm going to look like the one who's giving me the inheritance one day. It's going to be a spiritual inheritance. It's prepared for me. It's waiting for me. It's a sure thing. But I don't have it yet. I haven't received it yet, but it is coming." Now, when we think about the idea of the questions that are being asked, the nature of the questions that are being asked, they weren't being asked by those who were like sincerely desiring to have answers given. They were asked by foolish men. That's what Paul likened them to in verse number 36. That were continually questioning the truth because they did not want to accept the truth by faith. You say, well, I mean, this whole process, I mean, kind of belaborious the way he did. Yeah. But that's the truth. This is what's going to take place. You were born earthly. You need to be made heavenly. You were born corruptible. You need to receive a body that's incorruptible. Well, how's that going to take place? God's going to change you. There's some people that, listen, you can give them answer after answer after answer after answer. And they don't want to, their desire is not to change. Their desire is not to come to a place to where they have the truth. Their desire is to, listen, is to just bring questions that men might be able to know them. Look over in 1 Timothy, and we talked about this last week at the beginning of this passage. I want to be reminded of it as we end here this evening. 1 Timothy in chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Look at verse number 3. He's talking about the truth that is in the Word of God. He said, if any man teach otherwise, he's talking about slaves and masters and servants, he said, and giving instruction for those and how they should how it should operate. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to the to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words. Wherefore cometh envying and strife and railing and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing their gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Well, why in the world do we need to withdraw them? Because they don't want to receive what? The truth. They don't want to receive the truth. And Paul says, you need to separate yourself. He states it in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Look what he says. He says, Paul, put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and to the powers, and to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, to be gentle, showing all meekness with all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, right? That quickening Spirit, which He showed unto us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and this is a faithful saying, and these things I will affirm continually, that they which have believed might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto you. Understand with me, the Lord wanted them to be involved in these things. If you go over to verse number 9 says this. I'm in Titus. I'm sorry. I was going to read Titus as well, but it says, but avoid foolish questions. Avoid foolish questions. Friends, sometimes we need to search our heart, and we need to be discerning about why people are asking us questions. We do. We need to search our heart of why am I asking these questions, and why are others asking these questions? Is it a genuine desire to have the truth? Or, listen, are they asking questions because they refuse to accept the truth by faith? They refuse to accept it. People, listen, people that are in sin, well, sometimes they'll be like, well, they're in sin, and they believe, well, everybody's in sin, right? Men that are in sin, sometimes they'll say, well, I mean, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing this or that. And the reality is this, they're not. And people will come up with question after question because they don't want to, by faith, just accept by faith that there can be victory. Well, how could somebody get victory over this? The reason you would question how someone would get victory over this is because, understand with me, you by faith aren't accepting the Word of God in the area you need to have faith to get over that sin that you're in. I'm telling you, God's Word offers us answers. It does. And for someone to walk around with all they have is just foolish questions, if someone to walk around and all they just have is question after question after question after question, and you stop and say, okay, well, this is what the Bible says. God made man and woman. God said His Word will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. His Word won't pass away. God said the church, listen, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Come on, I'm telling you, there's so many things that we, over and over them, some of them of morality, some of them about the church, some of them about the Bible, some of them about music, and just over and over, the same questions over and over. And the reality is some people just do not desire to come to a knowledge of the truth because they, by faith, don't want to accept that what they're doing is wrong and God's Word has the answer for it. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.